Of Ayin Beit. Now, the last thing that we learned yesterday was the difference between a case where, as in the Mishnah, a father dies before the act of Tficha, where over there, for some reason, we say you're potter, despite the fact that if the father dies after the act of Tficha, over there we said, well, even though the Torah is talking about Bakar, it could mean a few chamishachat say Bakar, so then what would be the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? It doesn't make any sense. Why would we say, if you're saying it's okay if it's partial, so then if you shecht partial, the father died before, fine. So now the Ganav has part of the ownership, but he's doing a partial tzvicha, just like over there he's doing partial chamisha bakar. Answers the Gemara, because utvacho means the entire act has to be the isser. Now that word utvacho becomes now the theme of today's daf, conceptually. Because the next case that we have in the Mishnah is where someone is shochet v'nimtzat treifa, or he ends up being shochet chulin ba'azara. Now, these were cases in the Mishnah which were similar to the cases that we had in the Braitot about shechita v'shar ha'nizkal, the shechita v'nimtzat treifa. We have many examples of the din of shechita she'ena ru'uya. I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says in all such cases, it would not be considered a shechita at all, because if it was nimtzat treifa, it was chulin ba'azara, it ends up not being a shechita that's useful to you. It's not matir, and if it's not matir, then it's not an act of shechita. Omele Rav Chavivi mechuzna l'Rav Ashi. Now, this is an amazing thing, because this seems to prove that shemamina eina l'shechita ela l'besof. It must be that the act of shechita is defined only in that last moment where the shechita becomes kosher. Because if you're going to tell me, let me ask you something. There's a Kohen who's shechting in the Beit HaMikdash. Now, let's slow down the shechita. The Kohen is sawing away for an hour and a half on the neck of this animal in our slow motion picture, right? Which, by the way, it could actually be the case with a blunter knife. The Gemara says, no Indian, that it has to be Dafka. No, Adarabba, back, forth. As a matter of fact, it's possible. The shechita is not kosher if it's one, unless it's a long enough knife to be negative, to be tzavar plus, and so on. But normally the shechita is back and forth. He could be sawing away for an hour and a half. Now, suppose he has a machsheves pigel in the first 5 minutes. Now, he hasn't done very much. He's barely gotten through the skin. I mean, this isn't shechita. He's just sawing away. But the question is, when an act of shechita now is seen from its beginning till its end, is the whole thing the shechita? Or does the shechita consist of that last hair's breadth between chetzi and rubai of the simani? Because at that point, the shechita achieves something. Until then, we can view it as just you're getting ready to shecht. It's the last second. That's the shechita. So then I'd have to know, if the Kohen is mechashev v'psul, was he mechashev v'psul in shechita or not? I mean, just to be mechashev v'psul doesn't pass on an animal. And many other nafkaminas of great technical interest, as we'll see in Chulin shortly. Yeah, you know, we keep getting there, Baruch. Hopefully. Yeah. And so, the Mishnah seems to make it clear, says Rav Chavivi, Baruch Hashem, we have a raya from our Mishnah. Shechita consists only of that last instant. Why? Because if you hold it, yeshna l'shechita, mitchilava atzof. Okay. You're going ahead and you're doing shechita in the Azorah, right? So then, as soon as you start the act of shechita, then you've done now an act of shechita in the Azorah. Wow. It must be Purim. It must... You did an act of shechita bazar. If you're doing an act of shechita bazar, the animal immediately becomes usher. But if the animal becomes usher, it doesn't belong to the owner because he can't get any anah from it. And as we've seen many times, something which is usher b'anah is lav demare. So idach, when he completes the shechita, lav demare katavach. He's not shechting the tvacho of the other guy's thing. Well, why does that prove anything? Maybe that's the point. I mean, in the same way that you're ready to say that the first 5 minutes of the hour and a half long sawing away shechita was sufficient to aser the behemah because it's chulin shenishkata ba'azara, perhaps it's also what the Torah was mechayev you on when it says utavacha. Who's to say that at the end of the shechita it has to belong to the guy? Maybe the Torah was mechayev you on that little bit. So kikon mechayev ahu purta. Maybe that's the point. The Torah is mechayev you on any part of an act of shechita. So maman of shechita, if you are the yeshel of shechita mitchila v'atzov, so then in the same way that the shechita would aser the behemah in the chulin shenishkata ba'azara, it would also be the kiyum of utvacha lechara. You were toveyach.
So even if the animal could get up and walk away, ostensibly, there right. would still be an inyan of shechita.
Yes, assuming that the shechita was in fact concluded. This the Gemara Kulin makes very clear. If it turns out that the act was not an act of shechita, because at the end the shechita isn't kshera, and it's nabla and whatever, so then you never did the shechita, obviously. It's only when the entire act is defined as an act of shechita that we say yeshu shechita b'tchila v'atzof. No, it may walk away, but then there would not be an issur chulin bazar, and there would not be the chiyuv of tvacho. Obviously, so we're talking about that the shechita indeed in the end finishes. Amalei Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi said to Rav Unibrei the Rava, you know, it sounds very smart what you're saying, but don't be so quick on the draw. Don't push him away with that answer, because that's a facile answer. The problem is utvacho, and of course there's a continuation of yesterday's sugya. Since the Torah says utvacho, and you said utvacho by definition means kulo, you have to do the whole thing. And that was the very point of the difference between the Reish and the Sefer and the Mishnah in terms of when the father died. So the father dies before the Tvicha. So you said, so? In the same way that if you're going to be chayef to pay only one half of five bakar, doesn't matter. That's what Nachman said yesterday. So then why, if you shechted one half of the behemoth, so to speak, that belonged to someone else, because the other half anyway belonged to you as a yoreish? Ah, no, that's a whole different thing, because it says utvacho. Tvacho means kulo. Well, if indeed tvacho means kulo, then you've been a little too quick on the draw to say, in the same way that a little bit of shechita for the first 5 minutes is what asers the behemah of chulin ba'azara, so too does that little bit of shechita. It's always, goes a little bit of shechita goes a long way, but it doesn't, not when it comes to utvacho. So therefore, we cannot offer your answer. So utvacho means kulo be'inan, v'leka. So then, elakasha, indeed, are we forced to conclude that that's the truth when we know that this is a major issue where we find many indications otherwise? So how can you say that that's taken for granted? Amalei, no, I'll tell you. Actually, there's another answer. Archi Amar of Gamda, Mishmei Derava, Kedon Sheshachat Miktzat Simanim Bachutz V'Gamran Bifnim. You're taking for granted that the entire hour and a half long shechita had to take place in the Azara. Maybe this guy started the shechita for the first hour and 29 minutes and 59 seconds. He did all that outside of the Azara and then saddled on in while he was doing the shechita and completed that last hair's breadth in the Azara, so that then you have the closure of the tvacho coming together with the Chulin Shenishkata Ba'azara, and then the only issue is, what we knew the issue is all along, is it Shechita Ru'uya or not? But this other question, but it didn't belong to the owner, which is a totally different issue. It has nothing to do with the Reb Shimon. We've seen this come up again and again. We had the same question yesterday. It's all very nice to talk about a Shechita Shein Ru'uya, but in any cases where you've got Isuri Hana'ah, forget about Shechita Shein Ru'uya. It has to belong to the owner. So we need to answer that problem, even if you don't hold of Rabbi Shimon. And you say, well, it's a kosher shechita, thanks a lot. But what you shechted wasn't his. But if, what we say is, but it's the last second it was his. So then, enachinami, the last second then would be the only part of the shechita that takes place in the Azor. The instant of Rov, the transition between Rov, which is the Chutasara, as Rashi points out. Now, ikadamatila, aha. Now, there are some who go through this whole give and take on a completely different issue. And what is that issue? It's yet a third point. We spoke about Shkitshen Ruya. We spoke about the question of whether the animal belongs to the owner. But now the other way of looking at it is the question of whether indeed it is Aser Bahana'a Midiraita. Because apparently, in this version, it goes like this. Amar Reb Shimei ben Lakish b'shum de Rabbi Levi, actually, it's b'shum de Rabbi Levi Saba, Eina l'shchita ela l'besof, v'Rabbi Yochanan amar yesh l'shchita metchila v'atzof. So here is, it began, now we understand how, according to the Yikri Amri, we got confused. The original statement was appended to the Machlokas Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about whether yesh l'shchita metchila v'atzof. So there is a Machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan says yesh l'shchita metchila v'atzof. Now here comes along Rav Chavivi Michosra, and says to Rav Ashi in this version, that apparently that would mean, Lema Kasov, Rav Yochanan, Chulit Shunishkatu Ba'azara, Lav Dioraita. Apparently Rav Yochanan holds that it cannot be an Issa Dioraita. And this would be a serious problem because Rav Yochanan himself is the Man D'Omar who says in Kiddushin that Chulit Shunishkatu Ba'azara is Dioraita. He learns that out of a Pasuk. Berichu K'macha Matazoveya. Rashi just says it's irrelevant. What he himself holds. The point is, what are we getting into now? It's a major machlokas about whether it's the Oraita or Derabbanan. I mean, so apparently what we could say is that he holds Chulit Shunishkatu Ba'azara is not the Oraita, because if he held that it is the Oraita, and he also is the Man Yomar who says, Yesh L'shchita B'tchila V'atzof. So then he saw G'daitach the Oraita. How could Rabbi Yochanan explain in the Mishnah the fact that you would be chayiv if you don't know the Rabbi Shimon? Michashachit le'purta asra. The moment that you shechted a little bit of it, it became asra. The rest of it is idach lav demarika shachat tavach. So over here, the Gemara is assuming that the problem revolves around whether midiraita, this belongs to the man that you're shechting it or not. Because if you hold that it's really an isra diaraita, the isra hana'as diaraita, the isra achila may definitely be your right. By the way, that could account for the question between Rashi and Tosafot. How do we understand the meaning of the pasuk? But in any event, let's talk only about the Yisra Hana'ah. The Yisra Achila points out Tosafot definitely your right. But the Yisra Hana'ah, if it's only Durabbanan, then as far as the Durite is concerned, you were over on the Yisra of Utvachol. So that would explain how you could be over on the Yisra of Utvachol. But the way, if we would learn that he held it is the Uraisa, by the time you shechted it, the first 5 minutes of the slow motion shchita, it already became lav demare. And then, by the time you complete the shchita, you would be indeed shechting someone's hefker's animal. Well, and again in this version, kikum b'chayev nami ahu purta. Okay, the same way that it becomes chulit shnishkatu ba'azara, that's osur ba'ana'ah, from that little bit, so too it becomes utvacha. And here too, in this version, omelei Rav Ashi, nah, not so fast on the draw. Lo titche, don't push him away with that answer. Because utvacho kulo be'inu v'leita. So as we've already seen yesterday, utvacho means you have to do the whole thing. So if that's the case, what is the answer? Ela kasha, isn't Rabbi Yochanan contradicting himself? Omar le, hach yomer av gamda mishmei derava, kikam achayev kagon shoshachat mitzasimani v'chutz, v'gorman bifni. Exactly as we said in the first version, the answer is, the act of Shechita was the last piece that went from Rov to, from Mechza to Rov. That was the part that indeed was done Bifnim. The rest was all done Bachutz, and therefore it's irrelevant whether Yeshu L'Shechita Mitchila Vatzeif. It says our president has arrived at precisely the correct moment to do his presidential duties. The Kahal will please remain silent. Ganav apishnai, v'tavachu machar apien, v'nimtzu zamimi. The next thing we're interested in, the first Mishnah opened up the issue of the interrelationship between the act of the Geneva and the act of Tficha in terms of our information, legavi the Edu. Does it have to be the same cut? Is it a chatzi davar? Is it a contradiction to Rabbi Akiva to say that it's a meaningful statement that somebody shechted an animal? Or in context of the first edut, it becomes meaningful. We compared it to edim that would testify that a woman is married, and then another group of edim comes in and says they saw somebody sleeping with her. Okay, would Rabbi Akiva ever say, we said yesterday, that it's trivial for the Beis Din to know that someone slept with a woman, generally it's completely trivial. But in the context of the first testimony, it becomes a meaningful statement. That's all very nice. But what is the relationship between these two groups when it comes to hazama? When it comes to hazama, so then what is hazama? Hazama is when another group of witnesses come along and they say, how could you? We don't know what happened. We don't care what happened, but we sure know you don't know what happened. Because at the very day that you claimed to have been watching the event, the putative event, that took place in Yerushalayim, you were really in Timbuktu with us on vacation. So how indeed were you able to testify? Shushan Abir, though, the Gemara says you really could have taken a flying carpet. Right, so then you could be in there. That's the Sigyan Makas. They maybe got a flying camel, right? I think they actually have a company called Flying Camel today. Flying Camel, you know. So that's the Gemara. It's amazing.
I have a regular camel.
Huh?
I have a regular camel. There's wings on it. I'd walk a mile for a camel.
Excellent.
Is that the one that gives you cash?
That's for sure. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bedvaro. But if you think about it, there's another fascinating, actually two other fascinating issues that are involved in this. Because when it comes to the question of the relationship of the Tvicha to the Geneva, the moment that something happens to the witnesses who's talked about the Geneva, at that point, the witnesses who talk about the Tvicha are trivial. Because the only reason we said it's not a trivial statement is because we know that there was a Geneva. Suppose now we find out later that there never was a Geneva. So then what should happen is that the Eidei Tvicha now become a trivial statement and there's no way to be mazen in the Eidei Tvicha. Because the Geneva never happened. Whew, that's fascinating. Of course, it creates a horrific problem because by definition, witnesses that you cannot be mazim are not witnesses at all. They need to be open to attack, but if they're dependent on the Geneva, are they open to attack? In the case where the Geneva is mazimable, are they still mazimable?
Why can't they just have their small particles?
Because their part is trivial unless the other part stands. Now this leads to another question. Wherever we have a problem in testimony, in which something is wrong with this testimony, so now something goes wrong with the Geneva. Now that trivializes their testimony. Now we find out that actually they were out and out liars because they were somewhere else. Do we say that the first step in which their testimony was trivialized or in any way rendered useless through hakhasha? Now hakhasha would mean that for some reason we can no longer have two other witnesses come along and say, that's not what we saw and we were also there. Now obviously we can't believe them more than the others, but we can no longer trust either of them, right? Mm-hmm. How about if after that point, another group of witnesses comes in and say, forget about the contradiction between these two sets of witnesses, the first set wasn't even there. So now at that point, they can say, aha, so you want us to pay, do you? But we were already useless witnesses, and therefore the hazama doesn't count because we were never going to achieve anything. It's a good thing you guys came in first, isn't it? So there the question is, do we say hakhashat chilat hazama? It's all part of one process of showing them to be worthless, or is it two completely different issues? So all of this becomes now central to an understanding of our mission. So the Mishnah goes like this. You have two separate groups of edim. Gonav al pishnayim, v'tavachu machar al pihem. V'nim tzu zominim. It's the same group that said both statements. Okay, so that's simple. Turns out they were never there. They never saw Geneva, and they never saw Tvicho Mechira. Then they pay everything. Mishalmi Mako, they would pay the entire Arba Avachamisha. Now, suppose there was one group that was Ganav. They were two people that said he stole, Ganav Apishnaim. And another two people come in and they say, Tavach Umachar, Apishnaim Achirim. And then both of them are found to be Zomim. So now the Rishonim or Mishalmim, Tashlumei Kefel, their part of the action was only Kefel, because they were only going to be Machai of the guy Kefel, because they didn't see, claim to see, a Tvichu Mechira. So they pay Kasher Zaman LaSot LaAchiv, what did they intend to do to him? Tashlumei Kefel. The Achronim who added the Tvichu Mechira, they added an additional Chiv of another two or three times as much, Dalad Vehei, so they pay Shlosha in the case of a Shor. They pay the remaining three. Now, suppose the last group, and only the last group, are found to be zonimim, so that the tficha now does not have any basis in court. So now the ganav has to pay the kefal. Who mishalim tashlumei kefal? So if nimtzu achronim zonimim, there's nothing wrong with the first group that said he's a ganav. So the ganav pays kefal, as he always does. The second group, who made him pay, they wanted to make him pay five times as much instead of only two times as much. So the extra three times, they're now chayav because of kasher zama. So in this case, the one who they wanted to be b'chayav. It's great. He ends up making money on the deal. I mean, if you're going to steal, you might as well steal a shore, because if it's just to say, you won't make anything. That's called a business, break even. All right, so in that case, now how about if echad min ha'achronim zomemim, only one of the edim are found to be zomem. Now the dinner is over there, that you only are mekayim kasher zamam, where you're mezim the entire kat. So if you find one of them zomemim, you simply are canceling the edim. You now don't have kosher edim to be made on the second part of the action. So batla edut shnia, so he still pays kefal. But if you find one of the rishonim zomemim, so then the whole thing falls apart. Batla kol edut, because despite the fact that we have two kosher witnesses to say he was toveach, it's a trivial statement. So why would I be interested in whether someone was toveach an animal? I mean, as far as I know, it's his animal. And the fact that there's only one aid or a group of witnesses that are no longer a useful group because one of them is an eid zonim means that I can't act upon what you're telling me, and therefore it's a meaningless statement. So then, batla kol ha'edut she'im ein gneiva. If I cannot prove in court the gneiva, then obviously ein tvicha u'mechira. There's nothing to discuss when it comes to tvicha u'mechira. Now, well, I mean, is it going to be a ganav? That was the cases. It depends if there was a kinyan, yush, so on. Anyway, he's not chayav arba v'chamisha, and so unless it was a separate act of stealing where the first ganav had already been kainet, and the stealing itself was the act of tficha, and in doing so, he was kainet in his rishus. It depends on the case. It's a complex question. Itma. Now, we do know that there is another fascinating issue. Now, this is brilliant. We didn't even think of this. If the aid turns out, a year later, and the aid Geneva turns out to be an aid Zomim, right? Yeah, we find out he's an aid Zomim a year later. And he's been testifying for the past year, signing contracts by the bus. This guy's a professional aid, you know? Makes a lot of money being a professional aid. Now, this is a disaster. Because if it turns out that he was an aid zomeim on something that he said a year ago, then everything that he's done during that entire period is now retroactively no good because he was a liar. Right. Now, this is going to be nogea our Mishnah. Because the question is, does it matter in what direction? Who turns out to be the aid zomeim first? Were we mevatel the Eidei Geneva retroactively, and then it would turn out that the Tvicha Mechira is useless no matter when we find out that the guy was lying. So let's take a look at this. Eid Zomim, Abai Omer Lamafreya, Udivsal. Abai says, look, I don't care if it was a year ago. If the witness didn't turn up to say that he was in Timbuktu because it took the long boat home, and it took him a year later to get there, and meanwhile, this guy who took the flying carpet, was signing contracts the whole time, says Abaya, well, he was puzzled from the moment that he said something which we subsequently found out couldn't have been said because he wasn't even there. So he's puzzled all along the way. Rava Amar, no, he's only puzzled from the point at which he's found out to be puzzled. Mikanu la'abau nifsal. Abaya says an afreu nifsal. Well, you think that that's obvious, right? Because Miahu Shaita da Asid, from the moment of his testimony, Havilei Rasha. At that point, he's a Rasha. He wants to take money Shalokadin and lie about it. Vatora Amra Al Tashet Rasha Eid. The Torah says, Beferish, you must not use an evildoer as a witness. So this was a non kosher witness. Rava says, well, it looks like that, doesn't it? But now think about it a little bit. How do you know he's a Rasha? You have no idea that he's a Rasha. It's just as likely that the other guy is a Rasha. We have two groups of witnesses. Okay. So one group is saying, we were here, and the other group is saying, you were there. Now, we don't really know that we should believe one over the other. In fact, as the Rambam points out, we don't know anything about testimony. We have absolutely no reason to trust first-hand testimony in any logical way, because, as we pointed out many times, every time you test the memory of first-hand witnesses, they don't have the slightest idea what they're talking about. And there's no reason to provide any basis at all to what it is that the witnesses are saying. If you take into consideration that if I saw the murderer go into a room in which no one else was present with a knife, and we run into the room and there's only one person there, and the other guy's dead, and the knife is dripping, and this guy's holding it, and he says it was a suicide, we can't kill him. We don't have testimony. But if we have two idiots that say, well, we were there, then we can kill him. So, okay, so the whole thing, basically, when it comes to paskening a din on the basis of Eidim, it's all following a set of rules that the Torah lays down, which is tremendous chiddush. So part of those rules runs like this. And if there is a second group of witnesses who claim that the first group wasn't even present, then you believe them. Why in the world should I believe them, says Rav? Because those are the rules. Right? You can't really logically tell me that I know something about what happened. So how do you have a right to say, now we know that they're liars? You never know that they're liars. All you know is what the Torah said. The Torah said you cannot use that testimony. Fine, I won't use that testimony. You know that the Torah is telling you, act as if they are liars. Okay, now I know from this point forward, I'll act as if they're liars. I mean, I obviously can't say, as Tosafos asks, why not say they're not liars at all? Why not separate the two issues and say, the perfectly kosher gentleman, perfectly kosher for testimony, but we follow the rules. Kasher zaman lasot le'achiv, even though we don't know whether they were telling the truth or the other group was telling the truth. That's as Tosafos says we can't do. Because if Lamaisa, the Torah, is ready to tell us to proceed and kill these people who wanted to kill a guy, make them pay, then obviously it's including in that that we have to treat them as being the ones who were actually liars. But it doesn't mean that the Torah is telling us they are liars, and therefore where it was irrelevant, namely back in time, where we didn't have this information and weren't following the rules, why would the rules go backward in time? And therefore, says Rav, you know, on the surface, if you take everything simplistically, it looks to you, well, that's when they lied. They never lied. We only act as if they lied. So the whole thing is a chiddush. And I say, eidzo meim chiddushu. The whole idea is a remarkable chiddush. Do trei v'trei ninu, mar chazita de tzayat elahani, tzayat elahani. What makes you think you should believe cut number two instead of cut number one? Therefore, yilkach eid l'chabo ela misha'at chiddush ve'elach. You don't know anything to do other than to follow the rules from this point forward. It's now your imagination that the rule has to be taken back in time. Where did the Torah say that? So that means that anything that they signed in the interim is perfectly kosher, because there's no reason for us to believe that they're psalming. The other lashon in Rava is that it isn't that Rava is claiming that the rule can be applied only from this point forward. He's agreeing, technically speaking, theoretically, the din ought to be like Abaya. And that when the Torah tells us to treat Edom Zomim in a particular way, it means to treat reality as if it's this way. Since in our experiences, reality doesn't change from the past or the future, we'd have to assume it's a reality then as it was now. If he's a liar today, then he's a liar when he said the lie, isn't he? So we agree with Abaya, because that itself would be inherent in the din of Edom Zomim. So why then does he say, Lamaisa, it's only Nifso Mikana Lahaba, which is a rather dramatic way of acting, to separate out the past from the present? Harcha Hainu Taim in a Rava says this, Mishuk Seder de Lekuchas. There is no way that the Rabbanan can allow a market to be affected at any point back and continue to have a properly functioning economy. Who in the world is going to now rely on witnesses that sign a contract if it turns out that maybe 5 years ago, we find out later, that the guy was a liar and now he's an ipsal. We can't have that. My binaya, what's the nafkamina between the two lashinas, whether Rava really believes we can't apply the rule halfway, or whether it's a special takana in terms of lekuchot? Well, one difference would be the asidu bo trei lechad v'trei lechad. Suppose you have two witnesses that say to one of the witnesses in the group of two, you, sir, were with us, and we don't know about the other guy, but you were with us in Timbuktu. And another two witnesses come, and they say to the other guy, you, sir, were with us in Hawaii. So there, you don't have a chiddush, because there you have two against one. That just points out, that's ridiculous. You don't have two against one, because no matter how many witnesses you have that attack a group of witnesses, I don't care if you got 1,000, it's always two against two, by definition. Therefore, the only case over here that the Gemara would be making sense about is where the two witnesses did not claim to see each other. One was saying, I was looking down from a window on the west side of the building when I saw Reuven murder Shimon. And the other guy says, well, I didn't see him, but I was looking at that moment from the east side of the building, and I saw Reuven kill Shimon. So we put together the testimony. But we don't have a group of witnesses because neither saw the other. Therefore, in that case, you could say it's not a chiddush that two would attack one and two would attack the other one, so that it's not trey or trey. But without that, it would be trey or trey also. So there you'd have an afkamina, because the only reason, according to the first lashon, that Rava doesn't apply the rule into the past is because it's a chiddush. But where you've got two against one, it's not a chiddush. So therefore, that would be one afkamina. Inami. Another afkamina would be, there was no hazama. What happened is that 5 years later, witnesses come by, and they see this contract. They say, oh my God, you've got Joe Schmo signed on the contract? This guy was a stick-up artist. We saw him rob a 7-Eleven 6 years ago. So now the question is, I mean, he's Apostle Adas. It has nothing to do with believing them against him. He's time Apostle Adas. So Apostle Adas, if the deal of Rava is that we need to protect the marketplace from ex post facto issues that are unpredictable and that make possible contracts by the hundreds, so we make a takana. Okay, so if it's Mishnah the Amr, Mishnah the Amr, Mishnah Chiddush, Leka. If you're telling me, well, look, it's a Chiddush, you can only apply the Chiddush from this point forward. That's not true about witnesses that saw the guy stick up to 7-Eleven. That's not a Chiddush, that's typical halachas that follow all the dinim of testimony. Whereas the Hachlish to the Amr Bishop said in Lakucha, maybe you're telling me that we make a takana to protect the marketplace against any such unknowable events at the time. So then Ika, so there Ika, Amr Birmi Ami Difte, you should know that Avad Rav Papa Nogea Lachala Maisa, followed Rava and did not passel a witness now back retroactively from the time that the event happened. Whereas Rav Ashi says, actually, Pascal Gabaya, that we do passel the witness now retroactively. And indeed, the ayin of the Yaal is exactly this case, that the aid Zomem is in fact Lemafreahu Nifsal, and therefore we would not follow Abaya. So now we finally get to the application of all of this to our mission. Hashochet v'nimtzei trefah l'Rav Chavivim yichozra l'Rav Ashi. Aha! Shema mina aina l'shchita l'ona besof. The yesh l'shchita metchila v'atzof, given the shachat v'apur ta'asra. Idach lav d'morek ha'tobach. Om l'Rav Huda b'rei d'Rava, so? Kiko mechayev, maybe on just ahu purta. Om l'Rav Ashi, not so fast, lo titche. Utvacho, kulo ba'ina, v'leka. Elakasha. Amalei, well, not really. There's a way out. Haki Omer of Gamda Mishmein Rava. The case could be talking about Kiyun Shishakan Miktat Simanim Bachutz the Gamram Bifnim. Ikan Amatila, aha. Omer Rabbi Yishimim Ben Lakish Mishum the Rabbi Levi Saba. Eina Lashkita Elalel Besof. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Yeshna Lashkita Metchila Ve'atzof. Omer Lei Rav Chavivi Mechozna L'Rav Ashi Lema Kasav Rabbi Yochanan Kulu Shinishkul Ba'azara Lav Dioraita. These are the Dioraita. These are the Mechishach le pur da asra idach lav de mori katava amale ravacha bere de rava kiko mechayev nami ahu purta amale ravashi lo titche utvacho kulo binan veleka ela kasha amale achi amar of gamda mishbe de rava kiko mechayev kegon sheshachat miktzat simani bachutz vegamaran bifnim ganav apishnayim v'tavachu makar al pihem v'nimtzu zomimim v'shabim hakol ganav apishnayim v'tavachu makar al pishnayim akhirim elo ve'elo nimtzu zomimim harishonim v'sham tashlum v'kefel achronim v'shalim tashlum v'shlosha נמצאו אחרונים זוממים, הוא משלם תשלומי כפל, והם משלמים תשלומי שלושה. אחד מן האחרונים זוממים פתל העדות שנייה. אחד מן הראשונים זוממים פתל כל העדות, שאם אין גניבה, אין תביכה ואין מחירה. איתמה. עד זומם הבאי אומר למפרה, הוא נפסל רב אומר מכאן על הבא, הוא נפסל הבאי אומר למפרה, הוא נפסל מההושעתה דעשית אבי לרשע, והתורה אמרה אל תשת רשע עד. רב אמר מכאן על הבא הוא נפסל, עד זומם חידושו, דוטרי וטרינינו. מהי חזית את הציית להני, ציית להני? הלכך אין לך בו אלא משת חידושו ואילך, from this point forward. איקרי אמרי רב הנמי כבאי ספיר עלי in terms of logic, ובאפרי הוא נפסל. הוקי נותן מדי רבה, משום פסדת לא לקוחות, מהי ביניו, תעשינו בי תרי לחד ותרי לחד, אינם מדי פסינו בגזלנותה, לאחלש שדה אמרת משום חידוש לקה, לאחלש שדה אמרת משום פסדת לקוחות, איקה. אמרי בירמי המדיפתי, עובד רב פופו, עובד כבאתי דה רב. רב אשי אמר, הלכת כבאתי דה אביי, and indeed, הלכת כבאתי דה אביי, ויהו כגם.